mission statement of these group meetings, I think it would be Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. That verse says that we are to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's what it's really all about. Consider one another. We need to know one another. We need to think about our brothers and sisters in Christ and where they're at and what they're going through in their life. And so he commands us to consider one another. And he says we need to stir up love and stir up good works. You know, last quarter we completed a study in the book of Titus. And really the theme of Titus is that God created us so that we could be zealous for good works. That's the kind of people we're supposed to be. Let your light shine before men that they may see your what? Good works. And glorify your Father who is in heaven. It says Jesus died in Titus chapter 2. To redeem us from lawless deeds and to purify for himself his own zealous people, or his own, special people. And it says they are zealous for good works. That's who Christians are supposed to be. We're supposed to be zealous for good works. And that's really one of the concrete things that comes out of our group meetings, is we become aware of what people are going through and good works that we can do to support one another and to show our love for one another. And so that's what the groups are all about. It just helps us get to know one another better so that we can show our love, so that we can do good works as we ought to do. And it goes on to say, we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And this is an important purpose of the groups, and that is that for various reasons, from time to time, many people will just kind of drift away from the church and no longer assemble, you know, with the saints regularly as they should. And it could be they're attracted by things of the world, or it could be that they're discouraged about something, you know, bad that's happened. And see, we need to be there for one another. And he says, exhort one another, encourage one another, lest we do give up, lest we do get discouraged, or lest we do kind of drift away. And so everybody's in a group, you know, and the group should kind of take a feeling of responsibility towards the people in that group. And don't let anyone drift away. Don't let anyone slip away. And if someone is struggling, we need to know about it. It can be tough when we have, you know, over 100 people, for example, to be aware of what's going on in everyone's life. This makes it a little bit easier. And so as far as a mission statement, what these groups are all about, I would say, you know, the scripture here in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. But I want to give a little illustration of really what I think the groups are all about. I'm going to show you a movie now. It's called Bo Benson Teaches Penny How to Crawl. Okay? I don't know, it has an official name, but that's what I would call it. And that's Bo in red, and that's his little sister. His sister Penny. So let's see if this is going to work for us. Bo Benson teaches his sister Penny how to crawl.
You can't do it, sister. You can't do it. I can't do it, sister. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it, sister.
Okay, it was short, so we're going to watch it again, okay? Sure, John and Linda don't mind. Okay. There's three things I love about that video. Number one, it appears that Bo really loves his sister Penny, right? And wants her to succeed. Number two, he's helping her grow. It's time for her to start crawling. And I understand she is crawling now, right? He wants to help her grow because he loves her. And number three, I love his positive reinforcement. You can do it. What does he say exactly? Sister? Okay, you can do it, sister. You can do it. Positive message, right? You can do it. And I think that's what we should say when we greet everybody every Sunday morning. You can do it, brother. You can do it, sister. It's a great little story, isn't it? We should love one another because we are brothers and sisters, right? We are brothers and sisters just like they are. And the thing that we should be concerned about and want to see is to see one another grow. That's what it's all about. Help people grow as Christians. That's the most important thing. And it's so important, I think, that we, you know, get a positive message like that. You can do it. We get discouraged. We struggle. We're on this pathway, and we get, you know, turned aside from time to time. And sometimes people think they can't do it. We got to tell them, you can do it, you know, with God's help. And we'll try to help you some, too. You can do it. The groups are voluntary. But I just want to say that being involved in the lives of our brothers and sisters and trying to encourage them along the way, that is not voluntary. And whether you do it through the groups or, you know, however you choose to do it, we've got to do it. That's what a local church is all about. When you make a decision to be a part of a congregation, you're saying, I want to be accountable and I want to help and I want people to help me also in living the Christian life. The scripture we looked at a moment ago in Hebrews chapter 10. You know, the book of Hebrews, he was encouraging these people not to give up. And he talked about how, you know, in Christ, you have everything you need. Jesus died for your sins. You have Christ as your high priest to mediate between you and God when you fall short. We have this wonderful new covenant where God promises to take all of our sins away and remember them no more. You have the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. He died for your sins. And so up to chapter 10, verse 22, he makes that argument, all the great, wonderful things that we have in Christ. And then beginning in verse 22, I think he really makes the application. And he says three things. Number one, let us draw near to God. Since God has provided this way, let us draw near. And this speaks to people who have not yet become Christians. You need to take advantage of this wonderful gift that God has given to you. Draw near in full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. That's the idea of how in the old law they would go into the most holy place with blood and they would sprinkle it, sprinkle blood on all these beautiful furnishings, and it symbolized, you know, that the blood would take away their sin. And it says, you know, our evil consciences, our guilty conscience can be cleansed. Because we know that Jesus died, and he says, you have your bodies washed with pure water. I believe it refers to baptism. The Bible says it washes away our sins. It brings us into a saved relationship with God. And so the first thing you need to do is you need to draw near to God. You need to accept this wonderful way of salvation. Number two, he says, you need to hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering, for God who promised is faithful. Become a Christian, and then never give up. You know, don't get discouraged. But the third thing he says, you know, it's not just about me getting saved and continuing to believe in God, read my Bible, pray. I have an obligation as a Christian. He says, you need to consider others. You're a part of a body. You need to be involved in the lives in order to stir up love and good works. Exhort one another. We need to be involved in one another's lives. We're commanded to. And so the application of Hebrews is draw near to God, hold fast to God the rest of your life. But a part of what it means to be a Christian is to be involved in the lives of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that means saying, you can do it, you know, brother, you can do it, sister. And there are a lot of different ways we can do that. One way we can do it is through our new groups. Let's look at a couple other scriptures that talk about the way that we're to be involved in one another's lives as members of a congregation. Romans chapter 12 says, let love be without hypocrisy. One of the neat things about the groups is each group is to get together socially once a month. Again, it's voluntary, not a real strict rule, but that's one of our goals. And we get to know one another. You know, otherwise our relationships, we can really do great things for one another, but do we really know one another? And that's when love becomes without hypocrisy. Not just because I'm supposed to do this or I know it's the right thing to say, but we get to know one another and we love one another. There's not a person here that once you get to know them, you don't appreciate them and you You learn things about them, and you have connections. And sometimes we judge people before we get to know them, just on really superficial things. We got to get to know one another, and then we will appreciate, and then our love will be without hypocrisy. He says, we should abhor what is evil, we should cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. That just means we do good things for one another, and we treat one another well. And we're very kind and very thoughtful. And seeing needs that might exist and doing what we can to help out. And honor, giving preference to one another. You're more important, you know, than I am in my own mind. I should put your needs ahead of my own needs. Prefer others. Put them first. Consider them and their needs ahead of your own. And then all Christians in verse 11 are not to lag in diligence. We're all to be fervent in spirit. We're all to be serving the Lord. But like we said, we need to be together and stir one another up in order to do, like he says there in verse 24, love and good works. So one way we can encourage one another to be involved and to be the Christian that we ought to be is by getting together and encouraging one another and instructing one another. Verse 12 says, we're to rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Continue steadfastly in prayer. General instructions that apply to all of us. But then 13 looks again at the body. He says, distributing to the needs of the saints. When we know there's a need, you know, we need to help out. Sometimes we don't even know there's a need. You know, and if we were in our groups, sharing. Getting beyond, you know, football and the weather in our conversations with one another. We've become aware of what needs exist. He says, given to hospitality. That just means we look for opportunities, you know, to support one another, to show our love and to help people who are in need. Scripture goes on. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. There are times when we, you know, we weep, we cry with our brothers and sisters because of what they're going through and we feel for them. Or if something good happens, we need to rejoice. They don't want to experience that alone. It doesn't mean anything unless you have somebody to share it with. And so that's the kind of Christian family that we need to be. Compassionate, understanding. We're family. If someone suffers, we all suffer. If someone's family's going through a tough time, we should all feel that. You know, in a real keen way, as though it was us who was going through the difficulty. And be willing to help one another. Another scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, we warn you, brethren, we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and finally he says, we need to be patient with all. Four commandments there. And he's not talking to elders, we exhort you, or preachers, we exhort you, but he says, brethren, this is something each and every one of us should be doing. Unruly, you need to warn them. Someone's about to faint, comfort them. Someone's struggling, you need to give them a hand, you know, hold their hand and lift them up and help them keep walking and be patient, he says, with all. It's an obligation that we all have. And then finally, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, we're to bear one another's burdens. And that's how we fulfill the law of Christ. Now, what is the law of Christ? You know, when we talk about that, sometimes we talk about the New Testament, or we talk about what Jesus and his apostles said. And all that's true. And anything that Jesus and his apostles taught, you know, we need to be careful to do that to the very best of our ability. But isn't it interesting? In this scripture, he identifies the law of Christ, or he says, you have fulfilled the law of Christ when you do what? When you bear one another's burdens. That's what it really means to be a Christian. When you help people who are struggling. In particular, verse 1 talked about, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, he says, restore him with a spirit of gentleness. So certainly one way we do that is when someone has sinned, and he says, forgive them. And be gentle towards them. Help them through that difficult time. And physical needs as well. We have a responsibility be sure that everybody has what they need. And so we need to bear one another's burdens. And that's how we will completely fulfill this law of Christ that we are called to live by as Christians. Kind of an introduction to why we are having groups, why it's important. Again, it's voluntary. But I hope you see that, you know, whether or not you fulfill these commandments through the groups, which is one good way to do it, or, you know, find some other way, it's something every Christian should be involved in. We're going to sing a song now entitled, I Am Resolved. Going back to the three applications there in Hebrews, the first was, if we've not become Christians, we need to draw near to God by submitting our obedience to Jesus Christ. And I love the words of the first verse of the song. I'm resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. You know, just describe someone who's fed up with living without God. They've been charmed by the things of the world, by the promise of the world to make us happy, and by the promise of sinful pleasures to satisfy us. And he says, I'm fed up. I'm resolved no longer to delay. No longer going to be lied to by the world and believing that deceit. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I hope that's what you feel this morning, you know, as you think about your relationship with God, that, you know, the world isn't working for me. I want something that's better. You know, I mentioned in our conversations, we need to get beyond sports, which we love to talk about, or the weather. That's what we always seem to talk about. We've got more important things in common than that because we're children of God. And we've got more important things to be working on together because we're a part of the church. Things that are higher. Things that are nobler. And I'm sure that's really a word, nobler, but you understand what I mean? Things that are noble. Things that are good. Things that really make a difference for good in this world. You know, that's what we need to be excited about in how we live our life. And so maybe that'll motivate us to be involved, be an involved member of the church. Participate. Come to the meetings. Get to know people. Or perhaps you've never even become a Christian, you know, and that's what you need to think about as well. Coming to Christ and having your sins washed away, become a part of His family today. If either of these two appeal to you, I hope you'll take it seriously. I hope you'll say yes. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning in any way, say yes, you can come forward and we'll assist you this morning. If we can help anybody today, you're invited to come now as we stand and sing at this time.